Right.
Okay, so I have Charles Erdman and Joyce Erdman here, and we're just discussing their acquaintance with Bill W., Bill Wilson, the founder of AA. So, Charlie, when did you first meet Mr. Wilson?
I first met him without even realizing, of course, who he was when he stopped by the summer of 1960, when we were in the process of building of having the motel constructed, and he came down to the job site and saw what was going on, etc.
And this was in East Dorset, Vermont.
Yes, in East Dorset, Vermont. Right. Well, that was so much for that. Then the following summer, when the place was in full operation, the phone rang and I took the call again, and it was his voice on who said, "Now we're." I want to make sure you're the motel who is right across the street from Friedleyville, are you not? And I said, yes, we are. I had just learned where Friedleyville was recently myself. And I knew it had to be somebody very familiar with the area. And of course, it turned out that call was from Bill Wilson.
And this was in
19... This is summer of 1961. And early in the summer, and they were arranging for he and his wife to spend some time at our place on their vacation. And they arrived, and Mr. and Mrs. Bill Wilson check in, and they're very nice people. All, but we never had a clue that they were involved with AA. And I think I'll tell you, let Joyce tell you about that, because she's the one that first found out through one of our other guests. So,
yeah, I was behind the desk, and they'd been there maybe, I think they came for a month, but anyway, this was while they were there, and they came in.
I'm not even sure it was that first year. I don't think it was. I think it was. So go ahead.
So anyway, I was talking to him, and he went out, and another guest was in the lobby, had just come in, and he said, "Do you know who that was?" And I said, "Yeah, that's Mr. Wilson." And he said, "Well, do you know who he is?" And I said, "No." He said, "Well, he's one of the founders of Alcoholics Anonymous." I said, "Well, is that so?" So anyway, we got to know him more, Bill and Lois, and he told us all about his experience and how it started.
And
well, and of course, they came back year after year for about a period of, I don't know how many years, I really can't remember those details. It was certainly until he started failing in health, they were back every year. And were some of our favorite guests. But we didn't treat them any differently than anybody else, meaning that we didn't sort of say, "Gee, these two are involved in AA." We didn't act that way or didn't even sort of think about it that way. They were just nice people to have around, and he's a big, tall, gangling guy at the time, and was on the phone a lot, calling his...
Always.
Always on the phone.
We didn't have phones in the room, so he had to use the lobby.
And he was doing two things. He was talking to people involving AA, and he was also talking to his stockbroker, I believe, because he was still very active
Wall Street.
Mm-hmm. And anyway, that went on until such time as they started to fade in.
Last time I remember, Charlie and I are both in the kitchen, and this was in the fall, which is our busy time. And the phone rang in the kitchen, and I answered it, and he said, "Hi, this is Bill." So I said, "Well, Bill, how are you?" And he said, "Well, I'm calling to say goodbye." He was dying, but I didn't know it. And he just wanted to call us, and he was very fond of us. They didn't have any children. They sort of adopted us as their favorite young people. And so that's what he was doing, calling to say goodbye. Very sad.
No.
At the time, he was in Miami, wasn't he? They were in Florida
Florida.
And, of course, like so many people who were in AA, he was a heavy smoker.
He died of emphysema.
And he died of emphysema, right. So,
that's right.
Better to be a smoker than to be a drinker.
Yeah, he jokingly once told us we were having cocktails, Charlie and I, and he said, "I'll be sure you never run out of the grog," and he laughed, and we laughed.
And you had mentioned earlier that he had told you when he decided to stopped drinking and how he met Dr. Bob. You had mentioned that he was...
Well...
Yeah, he told you.
About the light that he saw.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I've since read about it. Yes, he was in the hospital again. He had been, like, you know, they put him in to recover from a drunk. And he had just about given up. He didn't know what to do, but he knew. I was just reading it now. I said, "Oh God, you know, help me." And he was not religious. He's spiritual, but not. He didn't. You know, he wasn't.
Quoting scripture a lot, and
well, no, he didn't.
Yeah.
Know.
He was telling your mother this in person. He was.
Oh yeah, he was sitting there talking about it. And he said, "I just had this experience, and this great white light came into the room, and it paralyzed him." And he said he felt this wonderful peace come over him that he had never felt before. And then this lasted quite a while, this experience. And then when it went away, then he had never had another drink after that.
He was a good storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we have since his death, we have visited his grave, which is in the East Dorset.
Oh, it's
old,
on the way.
The old East Dorset graveyard, which.
And I used to pull in when I'd see people praying at his grave and laying flowers and sometimes coins. I don't know what that was all about, but anyway, and I stopped once. Said to someone, "I'd like to share something." I knew Bill Wilson, and they just aghast that anybody had known this man. And one woman said, "May I hug you?" And I said, "Sure." But she felt, you know, that I had known her savior,
mm-hmm.
which I guess that's the way they thought of him. They still do.
Also, in his memory, I would guess the what had been the old Mount Aeolus Inn, you know that.
Yes.
Well, it was the Wilson House first.
And it became, the Wilson House.
Oh.
Some, I guess, AA folks bought
it. Yes, they
bought
it.
And they fixed it up and modernized it, and it became an AA gathering place.
And
it was called the
Retreat.
Wilson House, and I guess it's still called the Wilson House.
Yeah,
so, and I think as a youth, it was always a tavern or something. He probably was.
They had a tavern in the
inn. Probably in and out of there all the time.
Yeah.
So
he was born behind the bar.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
I mean, born right down there in that village of East Dorset.
Yeah.
And I remember another time when had nothing to do in particular, but our mailman, the guy who delivered the mail,
Bill
the U.S.
Whalen.
Mails, Bill Whalen is his name. Now, one day he realized, he heard that Wilson was staying at our place, so he came up because it turns out it was his father or
his uncle. Mark Whalen.
One of his father, was it?
Yeah.
Had been a big-time buddy of Bill Wilson's, very close friends, and I guess drinking buddies as well.
Yeah.
That's what he told us. That's what Bill Whalen told us. So, you know, it's just, man, just was something else the way he worked. He was quite a man, all right.
Yeah,
and certainly has...
Great privilege to have known him.
Done a great thing for this, for the world in a way. People.
Oh, absolutely.
As you keep hearing, time and again, people who have heard about
it. Well, you didn't hear what Lori said yesterday. She said, "Oh, you know, you really." Because I called, I forget who to get AA phone number, and they gave me the New York phone number that I have somewhere. And Lori said, "Oh, you really ought to call because you'd probably be on Oprah. People are going to know that you knew Bill Wilson."
Uh-huh.
I said, "Are you kidding?" She said, "No, you don't seem to understand
that,
how he is
revered among
somebody who actually knew him."
Yeah,
is amazing.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to call Oprah.
Well, the man that told us about him, he's another nice guy. His name is Ralph. And
Arringer,
Ralph Arringer. Arringer, was it?
Arringer,
And he was a good, he's like some people, he was not only a guest but a friend.
And
a lot of fun to have around. And he's the one that, and he, I had not known it either until
he
that
was
time.
AA.
And he had been AA
mm-hmm.
himself, or was AA, or still
was,
is.
And
recognized Wilson. I don't know how he happened to recognize him, but he did.
He knew the name.
Oh, really?
Because he said to me, "Do you know who that is?" And I said, "Yeah." Well, they all knew him as Bill W., but somehow he knew that was Bill Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the story. I mean, that's sort of the outlines of many years of knowing him in the summertime. They did spend a lot of time, and he always took long walks.
Oh, he'd walk up our hill.
The road behind the house. And
he went to school at the top of the hill when he was growing up. There's a boy there that was a little...
Well, and the lady he married, Lois...
Burnham, yeah.
Burnham, their family had owned, I think, all of Emerald Lake, which was in the state, which became a state park.
There used to be a house on the lake.
That was the summer home of the
Burnham. Oh, really?
Of the Burnham,
uh-huh.
And somehow
she became his
Lois Burnham and Bill, who was, I guess he was home from time to time, or in East Dorset or something like that, to bump into her, and she became his devoted long time.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mom, you mentioned that she used to tell... She told you a story about the mattress. Was that written in the book, or is that something she personally told you about?
Oh, I forget where I heard that. That she used to put... Well, I think it's in this book I'm reading that. Pass it on. That she'd put a mattress... Well, this is when obviously when he was drinking.
No, that was... she didn't tell us... Actually, she didn't tell us the whole...
Yeah.
No, she was very quiet.
Very quiet about it all,
she
right?
She let him... He loved to talk. Uh-huh. He loved people. She recognized that. He'd sit for hours and talk to her.
I know. So, I guess that's about it.
Thank you. And
right.
This is April 3rd, 2010. Thank you.
All right. You can put...